Have you watched Hollywood movies when they want to show, for example, let's say they want to do a movie that has to do with the military in the US. They show, maybe they say the military wants to go into somewhere in Africa to maybe meet a warlord. The HD resolution of the screen comes down. It becomes brownish in color. Psychologically, it's telling us that it's not a place to go to. Even if you watch, I like to watch a lot of mob movies and drug lord movies, like Pablo Escobar and all those people. If you look at the way they portray Colombia, Mexico, South America, Cuba, the color of the screen is brown. But when maybe the drug lord now wants to expand business into Miami, because Miami is on the border of a lot of this Texas, once you see the screen quality, the first thing you see is skyscrapers, beaches, fast cars. Miami is the place of luxury, of wealth. That's what they are selling. That even the Mexicans and the Colombians, America has one of the highest level of Latin people there. Latin Americans want to move over.
So, in an age where the barrier to entry into media is so low now,
Yes.
because you could just pick up a phone as an African and tell a story, what story should people be telling?
Story of African development and the beauty of Africa. The truth is that it's difficult. It's not just on us as citizens, it's also on the government as well. Because it's difficult to say something good or something nice about a country that hasn't really done much to help you. So I see the disconnect. I'm not just going to come and say, Portray Africa is good. Portray Africa, there are some people that because of the insecurity and because of the corruption, they've lost family members. They've lost wealth. They've lost a lot of things. How will we tell that kind of person? So it's a joint effort. The government provides the basic needs for society, and the society will tell the story. You treat people well, you don't need to pay them to talk good about you. So it's a joint effort. Government invests in making the countries better. The citizens will do the job. Every average TikToker that travels to France already posts pictures about Paris. Does the government call them and say, when you come to France, make sure you post the Eiffel Tower? No, because they love the place. It's beautiful, right? People now are coming into Lagos for Dirty December. Why? Because Lagos has made the environment conducive for people to do parties and do all that. But now, when people see war happening in Africa, even our news stations are pushing war, pushing jazz, pushing all these things that are not good. How many news stations in Africa? How many radio shows? How many podcasts? I'm in Ghana right now. I've seen beautiful buildings. I've seen beautiful places. How many stations? How many people show it? How many people in Nigeria show it? Just one or two movies in Nigeria that you will see this and that. But our storylines, yes, we should tell our stories so that we can resonate with people that are watching the movies. But the onus is on the people in the media to make Africa look good. So anybody now that is going into a media space, podcast or whatever, at least at some point in time, say something good about the narrative. Because we're fighting a war, and it's a war on narrative. It's a war on narrative. The American government is doing what they would to keep America as the top country in the world, while possibly discrediting others. The African government is also taking that narrative and not doing anything about it. It's not. We spoke the other day, and I said the biggest media station in Africa has just been acquired by France, which means if they want to, assuming they want to shut it down, there's no DSTV or MultiChoice again for us, which is where we even get most a lot of our. Right. We need to own our stories. We need to own companies that tell our stories better. And that's the beauty of YouTube. Like you said, the barriers to entry are low. We've democratized creation. So if creation is democratized, why are we still telling stories that are outdated?
Tunde, a young man that just finished university, let's say a 21-year-old that is starting life just after university, he really wants to change his life and build wealth. What would be the exact process he should go through to change his life?
He just left university.
Yes.
The first thing I would say, study the people who have built wealth. That's the first thing I would say. If you are here and you want to get there, the best thing to do is study the people that have gotten there successfully and stayed there. The mindset tip I would give to him is it's a long game. So if you come out of university and you just think you're just going to hit $1 million like that, you're on a long thing. Best thing I'll tell someone who's just coming out of university, study the people who have become wealthy. That's what I'll say.
Anything else for that 21-year-old?
I think the moment you study the people who have become wealthy, what learning something new does to you, as we always advise people to read books. What learning something new does to you, it begins to break away patterns of old thinking. You would, when you read books, you would definitely see something different from how you've been thinking. That's what I'll say. Once I tell people study, I don't need to tell them anything else to do, because when you give people, because everybody wants steps, 5 steps, 6 steps, 7 steps, so they can easily say, I've ticked this one off, I've ticked this one off. But they now begin to do things just to tick steps. They don't begin to do things and soak that particular phase of their journey. So in the process of studying those people, you are extracting knowledge from them and becoming someone who has that knowledge. Wisdom is application of knowledge. Apply it. There are a lot of people that are knowledgeable that are not wealthy. The people that are wealthy are wise. That's the difference.
You, what changed in your pattern of thinking when you started reading and listening to people who have done it? What actually changed? Where was the bridge formed?
It's quite controversial, right? Because I started reading. I actually hated reading. I was not, if I, out of all my siblings, I never used to pick up books. Most people think I just became a reader, right? And I went to school, a particular school in Africa, in Nigeria called Covenant University. It's Bishop Oyedepo, he's one of the largest pastors in Nigeria. He owns a school called Covenant University. And I remember him speaking one day, and he said two things. He said, number one, leaders are readers. Number two, his most valuable investment is his library. That the amount of money he has spent the most amount of money in his life is books. And I looked at the person saying this, and I looked at his life, and I looked at what he has been able to achieve. So I'm like, if the person who has achieved all this wealth and all this influence says that this is the amount of money he has spent on this, and that is what I should do, and he can get me here, let me try it. Because when he used to say readers are leaders, I'm like, I beg, that's what everybody is saying, Jared. But let me try one book. And the first book I actually started reading, changed it from, that was the first ever book that got me into reading, was a book titled Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. And that book, it did so many things to my mind that I was like, oh my goodness. And from then, I started picking other books. Then I looked at it, okay. I started picking up books on business. I started picking up books on wealth building. It started peeling away things that I've been doing. There's a particular book I always advise people to read. It's called The Psychology of Money. When you read that book, you understand that wealth is first about your money patterns than it is about what you do. That book began to show me how I was even thinking about money, which is why a lot of my money was getting lost in circulation and never came back to. That's where the change happened. The moment I picked up that book, I realized everything that was wrong with what I was doing. So I would say leaders are readers.
So it would be beautiful to pick up a book and start reading.
Yep.
You know, there's a question that keep, you know, in recent times, every time I have a conversation, I want to drop this in there. AI, African economy, or wealth conversations about the young people. How is it going to influence the way we think about money and how we approach wealth?
Artificial intelligence is here. That's the truth. Because it doesn't really matter how fast we want to develop in Africa, right? Because for a lot of things, we are dependent on the Western world. We don't have a choice about AI. It's coming. It's already here. AI is going to disrupt learning. It has already disrupted learning. It's going to disrupt employment. It's going to disrupt job creation. It's going to democratize wealth creation and it's going to take a lot of jobs from people. What our advice, every African, is to understand AI and learn what it can do. The educational system in Africa is not going to automatically today start doing BSc AI. No, we're not there yet. So it is your job to learn what AI can do and how AI can help you. There was a particular coach I was listening to, and he said this. He said, He said, AI is not going to replace humans, right? But it will replace the people who don't know how to use AI.
Whoa.
So your job is not at risk. Your job is just at risk if you don't know how to use AI. No company is just going to come tomorrow and say, we're scrapping this whole department because AI is going to do the work. The truth is that AI needs prompt engineering. You still need to give the AI prompts to do the work for you. And manipulate those prompts to get some sort of data, right? So the people who understand how to use AI are going to, for example, the video editor,
yep,
the photographer, right? The people who design, I think I wanted to design a logo one time for something, and I had spoken to one guy who did design, and he was telling me that, oh, you know, my creative process, it takes 2 weeks to develop. And this is the amount of money. I was like, what is all this 2 weeks to develop? And everything that was inside my mind, I put it inside AI, and it generated logo for me.
Connected Minds Podcast.